Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Is it well in your soul? I was hoping that'd be a good moment, but man, that I love that song too, Bruce. Well, I wasn't just picking that because I know that's your favorite. It's one of my favorites too, so amen. Well, I hope you're doing well, church. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Trent Crawford. I typically don't serve as the leading pastor, if you will. This is kind of a different take for me today. Typically, I'm the youth and worship pastor, so I get the joy of taking Isaac's place today. I'm really excited for what God has laid on my heart that I get to share with you. I was kind of reflecting on today, and as I was thinking about it, we're about a month away from Maddie and I being here for one full year. And man, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I don't get too many opportunities to say this, but I want to say thank you guys so much for your continued prayers and support for us in this ministry. Last year, I'll just kind of share something really briefly with you that I think really kind of brought me into today's message. Last year, I was coming out of college 2 years ago during the midst of COVID, and I remember God laid on my heart that He wanted me to go into ministry full time. And that was definitely a call that I knew I needed to answer. But as with many calls that God gives us, sometimes it's the, okay, but what does that look like? What does that actually physically, boots on ground, look like? And I spent a year at the campus house in Maryville, which is where Maddie and I got really close and became eventually husband and wife. Pretty awesome stuff. But I remember going into that next year, like I said, I served there for another year, but I remember with that ending, I was like, okay, well, now where? I need to probably move on from this college ministry. I know God's calling me somewhere else, but where is that going to be? And I remember last July, I got an email from somebody. I believe it might have been, it was from my campus pastor. I think Mickey might have called our campus pastor saying, hey, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Bethany, Missouri is looking for a youth pastor. You know anybody in your ministry would be interested? And when that was brought to me, I said, I remember looking at Maddie saying, what do you think? You think this is for us? And I will just kind of briefly share. Also, man, there's a lot of what ifs, a lot of unknowns. I know one thing was we were trying to find a place to live. I was just had a full year lease that I just signed in Maryville. I was supposed to be here in Maryville all the way up to May of this year. I'm like, well, if I take this, what's going to happen with that? Am I going to have to pay two rents? Like, that's a, nobody wants to do that. I remember Maddie and I were trying to plan a wedding at the time. We were really concerned, like, wow, what's going to happen here? And Maddie was trying to find a job, but lo and behold, God provided. He took care of us. Maddie not only was able to find placement in South Harrison School District for student teaching, but she also got a job. How amazing is that? And God was able to take care of the housing situation. And man, I just remember there was so much uncertainty and fear. But then I stand here today saying, no, my God was good and He provided the entire time. And He's been blessing us tremendously. And but as I was thinking about that and about how I felt last year and how nervous I was and how much I was just so scared of what was going to happen next, I stand here today, I feel like, oh, why didn't I just trust in God the first time? And I was thinking about that for a lot of us, when life circumstances get really overwhelming, when a lot of things are happening in our lives, we tend to really get overwhelmed, right? We tend to start packing on burden and worry and anxiety. And soon enough, the weight of all these emotions just start to drag us down into a pit of despair and restlessness. Maybe it's not just life changes, but maybe something's happening to you at work. Right? Maybe you're really struggling to make ends meet, your bills are trying to be paid, you're really overwhelmed, and you're like, ah, what do I do? Why do we do this, though? For us as Christians, we know that we have the hope and promise of a Savior who conquered death, who is alive and living within us, who is victorious over sin and the world. So why is it that when life circumstances don't go our way, we start to carry on doubt and worry and fear? Why do we do that? Today, I want us to talk about this topic head on, and I hope that we can just have a real honest conversation about doubt and worry and how we can fully trust Jesus, the one who sets us free from these burdens of our sin. By the end of the day, I want to accomplish at least two things. Number one, I want us to be able to see through God's word just how freeing and liberating placing all of your burdens on Christ can be. It truly starts with this book. Number two, I want us to be able to learn how we can trust him with every fiber of our being and leave behind the sin of doubt and shame and put on a spirit of faith. Can we do that today? Let's go to God's word. I want you to be in Matthew chapter 11 today. This is going to be a passage that I know for myself, I've never preached it before, but I know in youth group, I talk about it all the time. It's one of those passages I bring up a lot, especially with the topic of anxiety and fear. And so if you're there with me, we're going to read. If not, it's going to be up on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 11, starting verse 28, Jesus says this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. That's the reading of God's word for today. What I love most about this passage is that Jesus opens up with such a simple invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I love that. What a beautiful way to start this passage. When we think about our own lives and the struggles that are in them, we often try to find where those burdens come from. Obviously, they come from a lot of different things. I remember when I was asking different people, like, where does most of your burdens come from? A lot of people try to tell me that it comes from work. You guys ever felt that way with maybe your job? Maybe you have a job that you don't really like that much. Maybe you work really long days, 12-hour days or longer. You don't make a lot of money, and it's just like, oh. I remember when I was all throughout high school and throughout most of my college days, I worked at Hy-Vee, helpful smile in every aisle. But let me tell you, that smile was there about 75% of the time. The rest of the time was all right, what are we going to do today? Customer service, right? Many of you who probably work there, you know what I'm talking about. Dealing with people. It's not the job that's hard, it's the people that are hard, right? Sometimes that's the case. I remember, though, my job felt really hard because I worked in the dairy cooler. I worked in the freezer. It's very, very cold in there. Even on winter days, I remember going in early in the morning. For a while there, I worked a 4 a.m. shift, waking up at 3:30 in the morning. Some of you guys do it for work. God bless you. That's not for me. But I remember getting up at 4 a.m. in the middle of winter, going to work in a freezer. And man, by the end of the day, I would just come home, and I was just so tired. And I remember being a college student. Of course, as many of you know, college students don't have a whole lot of money. Even though I felt like I worked a lot, I still had school to worry about, so couldn't work as much as I wanted to. Paying bills was so hard. It's part of the learning process, of course. But man, I felt so tired, and maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. Not only that, but dealing with people all day, I didn't enjoy my job very much. I was tired. I'd come home, and I just, all the burden of that work today, or that day, would just bear so heavy on me. For many of us, this is the reality of our lives. We got to put food on the table, right? We got to provide for our families, but work is hard. More than this, whenever we struggle with trying to maintain balance, we often don't give ourselves the rest that we need. I felt like when I was doing that job, I was never finding true rest. I think a lot of that can be transferred over to our personal lives, our spiritual lives, right? With our physical and our mental health. We labor so tirelessly to constantly be healthy and happy, yet it seems more and more we fail and we are so weighed down by the burdens we bear. We fill our heads with these thoughts that don't come from God, right? We get physically tired, we get mentally tired, we start to kind of drift away from what God really is saying to us through his word, and we lose sight of what God really wants for us. It's no doubt that we are living in a time where mental health is becoming more and more of a problem. Doing this message today, I want to share with you just a few statistics, and we can start this conversation about mental health, because honestly, that's where a lot of our burdens come from, is from up here, right? According to the National Alliance of Mental Health, 1 in 5 Americans suffer from some sort of mental illness. That's about 21% of U.S. adults, or roughly around 52.9 million people. Now, these things range from a lot of different things, but the top one is anxiety disorders. People who put too much things in their head and they just can't seem to organize it. According to another study, up to 31% of Americans, which is roughly around 40 million people, identified as having an anxiety disorder, with 23% of those people being women and 14% of those being men. Another leading mental illness, the one that tends to stem from anxiety or leads up to it, is depression, clinical depression. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, an estimated 21 million adults in the United States had at least one major depressive episode in their lifetime. This number represented 8.4% of all U.S. adults. We could definitely tell that there is a pandemic of mental health. What is even more scary than that is the amount of these problems, not just in adults, but in children, adolescents, teenagers. It was estimated that 4.1 million adolescents aged 12 to 17 in the United States had at least one major depressive episode in their life. This number represented roughly 17% of the entire population, ages 12 to 17. With anxiety disorders, it says that 31% of those adolescents also had some sort of anxiety or depression. What is even more amazing about this, and startling, if you will, is that these numbers have been going up throughout the years, especially with children, with adolescents. It says that, and the CDC reported that those who've been depressed or anxious, those numbers have raised from 5.4% in 2003 to 8% in 2007, and all the way up to 8.4% in 2011-12, and those numbers continue to rise. See, there's no doubt that there's so many people who struggle with these things, because there's just so much that goes on in our minds, especially in the world we live in today. There's just a range of different things, and a lot of people are starting to lose hope. What's even more terrifying is that suicide rates, on top of the anxiety and depression rates, have also been increasing. The CDC reported that suicide was the 12th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of over 45,000 people. It was the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 to 14 and 25 to 34. It was also the third leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 15 to 24. What's even more shocking is that there are nearly 2 times as many suicides in the United States as there are homicides. There's definitely a pandemic going on. I don't share these statistics to shock you, even though I know that many of you in this room know how heartbreaking it is of mental health and what people end up feeling like they have no way out. They lead to suicide. These numbers, we don't have to just look at the numbers. We could look in the world around us. We see it happen time and time again. The burdens and the weights of so many things that are being piled on people, it's just continuing to rise, and we know that it'll probably continue to rise. I know as a youth pastor, younger generations are just being raised today to be so confused and so lost in who they need to be. Just this constant pressure of being perfect, making sure that they copy all the latest trends, most of which just create even more confusion in their minds. Create these unrealistic standards that they have to know without a doubt where they need to be in life by the end of high school, having to figure everything out. Even those who aren't growing up in this time, they know that just the world around them, they're trying to tell them how to raise their kids. There's so much information just being piled in on you. There's no doubt that so many things are filling our minds. We try to balance our lives, and it's becoming a big problem. But can we just all agree that though through these times people just feel so tired and frustrated with the world's standards, we forget where our ultimate help and peace comes from, the resting place for all of our problems? Can we just agree that the words that we just read in Matthew today can give us the ultimate escape from these horrible worldly problems, this pandemic of mental health? All of our problems can be found by just finding our rest in Jesus. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus extends his arms out to all who are weary and are tired of doing things on their own, tired of filling their minds with so many things, trying to organize it all. He says, "No, I will give you rest." For those who have tried all these different avenues, trying to find peace and rest in their hearts, yet have found none to be successful, he alone is the resting place for all refugees who hunger and thirst. And most amazingly, he has yet to turn a single person away, those who seek him. In Proverbs 8:17, he says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." When we are at our ends and are feeling the weight of the world beating down on our shoulders, and it feels like we have nowhere else to turn, there's an open invitation in the arms of Christ. We know that when he went to the cross and paid the price for our sins, his shed blood on Calvary's tree, it was done so that we can have eternal rest for our souls. Let's look at what verse 29 and 30 say. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This verse has a very interesting illustration that maybe some of us in here who farm or know a little bit about farming history might be somewhat familiar with. He mentions this, "Take my yoke upon you." And for those of you who don't know what a yoke is, I had quite the interesting learning. As you can see up here, this here is a yoke. If you don't know what that is, it's a wooden frame that joins two animals together, usually ox, right, in the olden times, to be able to pull heavy loads. What's amazing about this is how these work. Now, I think this is how this works. Now, some of you farmers in here might go, "Trent, that's absolutely wrong. That's not how this works." But this is what I read online, so I'm going to take it as truth. And it goes well with the message, so that's probably not a good thing. I'm sorry. But from what I learned, it says that one side of the yoke is carrying the bulk of the load. So one of these ox would typically be more experienced, maybe a stronger ox, and the other one would be a younger, maybe less experienced ox. And so what that one ox would do is he would carry the bulk of the weight while the other one would still help. He would help one another because the load might be too heavy for just one ox to carry. When you think about how important it is for two animals pulling this plow, you could just see how just for one ox it would be nearly impossible. Carrying the heaviness alone, subject to constant redirection by the farmer holding the reins, there's just no doubt that one single ox trying to pull the load, trying to go through the field, it would probably be exhausting for that one. Yet when adding the second ox in, the work just becomes it's a lot lighter, less exhausting. Instead of working by itself and wearing and tearing itself down, the helper ox would take the load, the heavy lifting, push forward in the field, and when the end is reached, there is a beautifully plowed field. When you see what Jesus is saying in this passage, "to take my yoke upon you," he's telling us that we don't have to plow through this life alone. All of these burdens that we try to carry and push through, they don't have to be carried by ourselves. We have a helper through Christ who not only takes the weight of the burden and carries it, but takes all the weight off of our shoulders and puts it on his. By the cross, by his blood that was shed, we know that not only do the burdens of life no longer have the hold, the weight that they once did, but the sin we carried is removed as well. He takes the load off our shoulders and puts it on his. He says, "I will take it. My yoke is easy. It's light." You don't have to allow the world to weigh down on your shoulders anymore. I will take that off of you. See, when Christ died for us, he truly set us free from the bondage of sin and anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. These things that had came from the brokenness of the world, they no longer belong to us. They have been cast away by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. These struggles that we have in our own minds, these battles are no longer ours to fight. I love what Galatians 5:1 says. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not again submit to a yoke of slavery." I love the contrast we have here where it says, Jesus says to take my yoke upon you, my yoke, Jesus' yoke. It's light. Don't submit to a yoke of slavery, this yoke that weighs you down. He says, no, I'll take that off of you and I'll put mine on you. We take off our yokes of slavery, put on the light yoke of Christ, and we have beauty in knowing that we will never again have to face these burdens alone. Now, of course, I know I want to address this too. Does that mean all of our problems go away as soon as we accept Christ? No. Jesus said that in this world you may have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. We know that all of these things that we struggle with, we know that Jesus went ahead of us. He took care of that for us. He overcome the world. We don't have to submit to the yoke of slavery anymore. We can submit to the yoke of Christ. We have freedom. Our chains are broken. We accept him as Savior, and he walks with us through these trials and through these storms. Not only that, but he's able to sympathize with our weakness because he went through it himself. He went through suffering and pain and agony. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I love what it says in verse 16. "Let us then draw with confidence near the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help and in time of need." We must allow ourselves to see that we must find our rest in Christ. This passage is finished out by saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There's a book I just recently read titled Gentle and Lowly by an author named Dane Ortlund. And honestly, that book was just so amazing. If you have any book recommendations or people who love to read, I highly recommend you read this book. It definitely changed my heart. It was so amazing. But one of the things that this book focused on was the passage that we're reading today. And I love that it focused on the two words there, gentle and lowly. At one place in his book, Ortlund mentions that this is the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer deep into the core of who he is. We are not told that he's austere and demanding in heart. We're not told that he is exalted and dignified in heart in this place. We aren't even told that he's joyful and generous in heart. He just simply puts in this one passage, he says that I am gentle and lowly in heart. He had so many things he could have put in that place to say who he is, but he chooses the words gentle and lowly. What Christ is saying with this statement is that he is gentle to those who have oppressed him. He teaches with such an authority, yet is still graceful to those who might teach against him. He is merciful to his people, and as a servant, he is lowly and kind. He showcases humility and meekness, a quiet spirit. This is so contrary to how we typically view God, right? Too often we think of him being an angry, unloving, and unkind God who would never forgive me for the sins that I've done. And yes, although they are terrible, we might ask ourselves, how could a loving God ever accept me into his family in the muck and mire that is my life? We are messes, aren't we? And there's a lot of times where we wonder if God would truly love us enough to save us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is beautiful is that he is gentle and lowly. He is willing to do that. He showed that through his son. What this passage reminds us is that Jesus is a welcoming friend who has a seat for you at his table. You are never too broken to come before him. And when you accept him, he loves you and cherishes you closer than a family member. Ortlund also mentions in this book, and I love this when we're talking about how forgiving God is and how amazing Christ is he mentions is this high and holy Christ does not cringe at reaching out and touching dirty sinners and numb sufferers. Such an embrace is precisely what he loves to do. He cannot bear to hold back. Friends, if no one's told you today, Jesus loves you so much. And sometimes when you feel like all of your burdens and all of your sin is just keeping you from God, just know that when you ask for forgiveness, He is willing to forgive you. He is just to forgive you. He is the one. He is the judge. And He still says, no, I see not guilty through the Son, through Jesus Christ, and through Him alone. We do not serve an angry God who has completely rejected all of mankind, but we serve a God who is willing to send His Son into the world so that we may have redemption. The Bible says that Jesus is a propitiation. He bridges the gap. We can come back to God. How amazing is that? Through the love of Christ. Not only that, though we struggle with many things, sin and brokenness and shame, we must remind ourselves of the heart of Christ, that He is gentle and lowly. He's humble in heart. He sympathizes with our weakness. And most importantly, He does not leave us, forsake us in our time of need. He is a faithful God, and He will be with you to the end. So, to finish today out, there's three things I want us to remind ourselves of. For you who are laden, who are broken, who your heart is heavy, you are going through so many trials in your life, just know that there's a few things that we must remind ourselves to keep pushing forward. Number one, we must remind ourselves that we are not defined by our failures, our burdens, our anxieties, but rather we are defined by Christ. When we give our lives to Jesus and He becomes our Lord and Savior, we are no longer defined by the things that once were. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "For we are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. We are brought back to life. We are new creations." How amazing is that? These things that we once allowed to infiltrate our minds and let us define us no longer have a hold on us. I want to remind you today, if you are in Christ, you are no longer a child of the world, but you are a child of the Most High God. I want to read to you Romans chapter 8. Maybe it can be an encouragement to you. Romans 8:14 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." How amazing is that, that we get to do that. But not only that, but it says in verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him." What an honor that is, that despite our brokenness, even though on this side of glory we sin, we know that when we are in Christ, we are co-heirs with Him. God doesn't become this great God, but He is, but He becomes something more personal. He becomes our Father. We are defined by Christ. Number two, we can see that despite what we go through in this world, in this life, we can truly find real freedom in Christ. When we face life's trials, we must remind ourselves constantly that Jesus has overcome the world, and because of that, so have we. It's not by our own doing, but it's by Christ alone. I love what John 8:36 says. When we talk about this idea of freedom, Jesus reminds us, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I want to ask you today, do you have true freedom in Christ? Do you know what I'm talking about? See, whenever we give our hearts to Jesus, He truly sets us free from that, just like we read in Galatians 5:1. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it also says that God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but power and love and self-control. We no longer have to be afraid of what the world can do to us because we serve an almighty God. It's amazing. We are set free from all the bondage in our minds and our sins. We truly are in Christ. Lastly, I want us, and this is the biggest one, for those of you who are struggling today, this is the biggest thing I want you to remember. Our suffering may last a moment, but our joy is eternal. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider it that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We must remind ourselves that this life is only temporary. The pain and suffering we endure here on earth will strengthen our faith and make us realize our need for a Savior. We know that we can trust in Christ with all of our being, and despite what we endure on this earth, like Paul mentions time and time again in his letters, that we may still have joy unspeakable. True joy that does not change with the winds of time or whenever things happen, changes in our life. We could still have joy found in Christ. Joy that's steadfast and sturdy as an anchor. Despite what this life throws at us, whatever we may endure, let us know that joy can be still found in Christ alone. See, unlike worldly joy, the changes when fear and unrest happen and we get challenged, Christian joy is unchanging with the seasons. Why is this? It's because our God is unchanging. The sacrifice Christ made for us is unchanging. That promise he's kept for us is unchanging. So we know that our joy is unchanging. That's an amazing thing. That's something we can't say what the world has to offer. Christ truly is the steady anchor for our souls. Despite what winds and waves may crash against the ship that is our heart, we can remain calm and still, knowing and rejoicing that he will hold us fast. In Hebrews 6:17, it says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, promise, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into a place behind a curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So I want to ask you this question today. Have you found the anchor for your soul? Have you found true peace in your life, true joy that is unchanging? Are you still after the things that don't satisfy the hunger and thirst of that thing that is missing? Have you been able to anchor your soul to the rock that is Christ? Or is the ship that is your heart still beating against every wave that life throws at you, not really knowing when your ship is going to sink? I asked this earlier, but is it well with your soul? I understand that in this world we live in, it's hard to find rest or peace of much of anything anymore. So we try so hard to find it on our own, to make up for the lost joy that seems to be ever fleeting, and maybe for some it just feels like it's just not even worth it anymore, trying to find joy in all these empty things. My friend, if that is you, have you ever heard the name of Jesus? The life-giving, ever-loving, gentle, lowly, sweet name of Jesus Christ. Has he set you free from the bondage of sin and fear? Are you released from your chains and no longer a prisoner inside your mind? If you're lost and broken within, you're just trying so hard to find just a breath of fresh air, a fresh breath of life. Have you found the life-giving waters of Jesus that will satisfy your soul? Like we read today, there is a loving and gracious King who has already paid the price for you, so you don't no longer have to suffer this life alone. He has bought you with his blood, so you may struggle with no more. Have you found Jesus? I read it again, Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." For those of you struggling today, those of you who are already in Christ, you know that there's still a daily struggle of battling your anxiety, your fear of tomorrow, even those evil thoughts of ending it all, I know this can happen. Can I tell you, though, that you still have a purpose in the ministry? God has such an amazing plan for your life, and he is molding and making you into a stronger disciple. Though this is never fun, you know that it produces endurance and a stronger faith, so you may share a testimony of the lost and dying world, saying, look at what Jesus did in my life. Look what he can do in yours. So please, brother and sister, I beg you, hang on. Allowing Christ to be the chief cornerstone of your life, let us not forget that you are not alone in this battle. You have the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you when life's trials come at you. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. There's a race still to be run here on earth. Though we battle with sin constantly, we must know there are seeds that still need to be planted, and there's one common goal still to be had, is to make Christ known, make disciples of all nations. And so, I know that, like I've mentioned already, that there's a lot of things in this world that can bring us down, that can try to steal our joy, but know that Jesus is where our true joy is found. He has given the invitation, come to me. Those who are lost, who are broken, who have so much sin in their lives, I will give you rest. Those who have the minds that just will not get rid of the anxious thoughts, the depressive thoughts, the suicidal thoughts, come to me, I will give you rest. Let us remember this. I'll finish with this as I invite Bruce up here. Revelation 21:4 says this. This is the most amazing promise I can give you today. This is something we get to look forward to in the future. He says, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. There's coming a day where no heartache shall come, where clouds in the sky, where tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Keep the faith, brothers and sisters. Keep the faith. And for those of you who are not in Christ, give your life to him. Find rest in the arms of Christ today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we're just so grateful that we get to find rest in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we try so hard to do things on our own. We're stubborn, we're prideful, and sometimes we just don't know where else to go. But Father, just allow each and every one of us in this room to just find our rest and peace in you. Lord, you are our refuge. You are our strength. So Father, I just continue to pray that if we're battling with this, Lord, that we reach out to someone. Lord, that we pray that, Lord, that we just lift each other up and strengthen one another. And let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, not wavering. Lord, thank you so much for the peace and joy that you've given us. It's unchangeable. It cannot be taken from us. Lord, thank you. So, Lord, we just continue to pray for this service. We pray that you continue to convict hearts. Lord, thank you again for this time. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.